Canto 6, Chapter 7. Indra offends his spiritual master, Brihaspati. The king, Parikshit, said, "Please, O Great One, can you describe for what reason the God-conscious souls were rejected by their Acharya, the teacher of example, Brihaspati? What was the offense the disciples committed unto the spiritual master?" The son of Vyasadeva said, "King Indra, enjoying the wealth of the three worlds, due to pride, had strayed from the path of truth. Surrounded, O king, by the Marids of the lustre, the Vasus of excellence, the Rudras of anger, the Adityas of what is untrue, the Ribhus of invention, the Vishwadevas of royal riches, the Sadhyas of refinement, the Ashwini Kumaras of helpfulness, and the Kumaras of celibacy, and being served by the Siddhas of perfection, the Charanas of the theatre, the Gandharvas of song, the Munis of wisdom, the Brahmavadis of learning, the Vidyadharas of science, the Apsaras of heaven and Kinaras of superpower, the Patagas of the birds and the Uragas of the snakes, King Indra was served and glorified with sweet songs, O son of Bharata. In his assembly hall, he one day was sitting on his throne, enjoying the royal opulence of a white parasol as beautiful as the moon disk, and other regalia and amenities such as yak tails for fanning him. Shining with his wife Shachi, who shared the throne with him, he thought he was the one supreme. But when his exalted teacher of example, the spiritual master of all the godly souls, appeared in the assembly, he was not welcomed by him. He did not stand up from his throne to offer him a seat or greet the great priest of the godly ones, the best one of the sages, who was equally respected by the enlightened and the unenlightened souls. Even though Indra saw him enter, he failed to pay him any respect. Brihaspati, the learned sage and master, thereupon left immediately to return home in silence, well known as he was with the alienation of being puffed up about wealth. Indra instantly realized that he had disrespected his guru and criticized himself publicly. "Alas, how disrespectful it was what I have done! I must be out of my mind. Now I have, infatuated with my wealth, mistreated the preceptor in the midst of his assembly. What man of knowledge would be in favor of opulence? Despite being the king above all, I, the leader of the demigods, now, with this wealth, have been carried away by a demoniac mentality. He who says that to sit on the royal throne means that one should not stand up for someone else has no idea of the higher meaning of Dharma. They who lead the way on a false path will land in darkness themselves, and anyone who puts faith in their words will go down also, sinking like a boat made of stone. Therefore, let me propitiate the spiritual leader, the immaculate Brahmin Brihaspati, whose knowledge is unfathomable, and touch, without duplicity, his lotus feet with my head." While Indra, the mightiest god of all, was ruminating thus, Brihaspati disappeared from his house, not being seen because of the power of his elevated state. Vigorously searching all around, not finding a trace of his guru, the mighty Indra, being helped by his associates and contemplating his wisdom, could not find any peace of mind. When the mass of unenlightened souls, who kept to the precepts of Shukracharya, heard about it, they took, not that smart, up their weapons and declared war against the godly ones. With their trunks, arms and legs being pierced by the sharp arrows shot, the god-conscious souls, together with Indra, took refuge with Lord Brahma and bowed their heads before him. seeing them weighed down by their worries, the godhead Brahma, the supreme unborn one, out of his causeless infinite mercy, spoke to them in order to comfort them. Lord Brahma said, "Alas, what an unpleasant surprise, O supreme enlightened souls! Because you, being too proud with your opulence, failed in your hospitality, you have committed a serious offense against a faithful servant of the absolute truth, a Brahman of full control. Because of your negligence with the wealth you enjoy, the others, your enemies, however weak they were, being defeated by you in the past, managed to defeat you now, O enlightened souls. Indra Magavan, O honor of wealth, just see how your enemies, who formerly were so weak because of neglecting their preceptor, have regained their power, now they, with great devotion, are of respect for their sage, the son of Bhrigu, Shukaracharya. As disciples of Bhrigu, undivided in their resolve to follow the instructions, they are unconcerned about the opposition of those who dwell in heaven up to Lord Brahma. They who put first the Brahmins, the cows, and the protector of the cows, Govinda, Vishnu, will find nothing inauspicious on their way, whether they are human or divine. Therefore, devote yourselves forthwith to Vishwarupa, the son of Tvashta. He is a self-possessed, incorruptible man of austerity and penance. Given your understanding for his workload of supporting the Daityas, he, that way being honored, will take care of your interests." Sri Shuka said, "Thus being advised by Lord Brahma, O King, they, relieved of their pain, went to the Rishi, the son of Trashta. They embraced him and told him the following. The godly said, "We, arriving as guests at your abode, wish you all good fortune, and would like to express the desire, O dear son, to have, concerning the present situation of us, the elder ones of your spiritual family, some things straightened out. The highest duty of sons is to serve their parents as good as they can, despite having sons of their own, O Brahman, and what to say about celibate sons? The teacher of example, the Acharya, personifies the Vedic knowledge. The father stands for the original father, Brahma. The brother is the representative of the king of the demigods, Indra. And the mother is the direct embodiment of the earth. The sister personifies the mercy. The guest is there as the true self of Dharma. The one invited is there as the representative of the god of the sacrificial fire, Agni. And all living beings are there to the example of the supreme one of the soul, Vishnu. Therefore, by the power of the austerity that is in you, dear son, take away the grief of us, your troubled elders, who were defeated by your enemies. We recognize you as someone capable of performing this task. We have chosen you as our preceptor concerning the supreme Brahman, as our Brahmin and spiritual master, so that, based upon your prowess, we can defeat our rivals with ease. It is by no means forbidden to offer for one's self-interest one's obeisances at the feet of someone younger, like you. It is important to be of praise, O Brahmin. To be advanced in age does not really count in such matters." The Honorable Rishi Shuka said, "Thus, on the request of the different enlightened souls accepting the priesthood as the great example of austerity, Vishwarupa, pleased with their honest words, addressed them. Vishwarupa said, "Even though it, the acceptance of priesthood, is condemned by those faithful to religious principles as being detrimental to one's brahminical power, I, O lords, O controllers of all, as someone whose self-worth it is to be a disciple, so one says, cannot decline this request. Persons withdrawing from the world may count on the wealth of grains left behind in the field or the marketplace. That is how the sadhus acting piously in this world, succeed. But how reproachable it is for me, O rulers of the worlds, to be of the duty of the priesthood, a duty designed to give joy to the less intelligent. Nevertheless, I cannot turn down the small request of you people as good as the Guru. I will fulfill the desire of all of you and dedicate my whole life and well-being. The son of Vyasa said, Vishwarupa, the master of penance, thus promising them to be their priest, performed as requested his duty with the greatest attention. Even though the riches of the enemies of the God-conscious souls were protected by the signs of Shukracharya, the mighty sage managed, by means of a prayer unto Lord Vishnu, called Narayana Kavacha, to collect the wealth and hand it over to the great Indra. The liberal-minded Vishwarupa spoke that hymn to Mahendra, the great Indra. It protected the god with 1,000 eyes and defeated the military power of the Asuras, the demons, that had become a great threat.